knock some projects off your to-do list without having to do them yourself. Every day, over 8,000 homeowners turn to the Home Depot's home services to help install sheds, bath remodels, window treatments, heating and cooling systems, nearly any home improvement project. Visit homedepot.com/services and go from to-do to done with licensed local pros backed by the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. For license information, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
This February, history will be made. Millions will watch as 80 years of unjust stigma is left in the past. A product that drove good people to the black market will be revealed as one that's creating a new global market. This February, what inspired the symbol of counterculture will at long last be seen as just culture. The new normal is coming. Will you be one of the first to see it? Visit MedMen.com to watch an exclusive preview.
Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that pork's name is now Turbis.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons and Chatter Squadron with a special episode breaking down all the points of Episode 9, Rise of Skywalker. This is BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achoo to Star Wars fans. Thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you have... you probably still know about the great...
Every legend is built. This one starts with a frame. We raised a great stature and gave it a name. The BMW X7. It's the biggest one yet. Fitting power and style, the best you can get. An all-leather interior, its luxury shows, so we kept it right up for all of three rows. With its dynamic driving, you chase your desires. The true mark of this legend is how it inspires. The first ever BMW X7. Make every day legendary.
Exceptional offers through BMW Financial Services at BMWNYC.com. BMW of Manhattan, driven by more.
Easy news that just came out, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody in the world does.
I think it broke the internet
when the title was released, because Twitter wouldn't load for about 10 minutes for me, so...
And, of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and get it out on the table before we bring the guys from Chatter Squadron in. Samuel, Samuel Hutt, you don't really like the title of Episode 9.
I'm on the fence about it. I'm on the fence because when there was the rumor...
Okay, we'll come back to it. We don't want to ruin it, but I'm just getting it on the table.
Yeah, okay.
Let's get it out there because this is a therapy session. If we were with the guys over at the Force Center... they'd be doing a therapy session. Joseph Scrimshaw would be helping do Star Wars therapy with you right now to help you through this. So we are super pumped to be joined and partnered today in this episode with the guys over at Chatter Squadron. How you guys doing?
Hey, guys.
Tyler and Mike, right?
Yeah, that's us.
Tell us about the show. I want to know a little bit more about what you guys do for our listeners, and then we'll reverse it for you. Yours.
Well, I am Tyler Bucks. This is Mike Calhoun.
Hello.
And we are Chatter Squadron, your weekly dose of Star Wars fun and positivity. And we were lucky enough to be in that panel.
Wow.
Be able to see it live. We saw everything happen. And I cried four times.
We really did. Like, we discussed it immediately. We're like, so how many times did you guys cry?
Yeah.
It was like, two, three, four.
Yeah, we had a whiteboard going.
Yeah,
how many
we had tallies going.
I'm very interested in Sam's disapproval, maybe. I don't know if you're just reservations of the title. You don't have to dig into it right now. I do want to, because I'm happy that there's actually a little bit of a... Because I loved it.
I did too.
So I want to hear your...
I'm like the only one in here.
No.
Any reservations at all about it.
Would we like to talk about just how it was being there? How it was? Because that's the thing. This is the first celebration that us, the Chatter Squadron guys, have been to. And then we got to go to the first panel, the whole...
Big
event, and it was really, really, really cool. And
Stephen Colbert was there.
What was that? Because they didn't announce who was going to be hosting.
I know. I thought it was Warwick at first because he's done it before, but they brought him out before the panel even started, and then they faked us out, I feel.
Back in 2017, it was Josh Gad
that
they brought in for the Last Jedi panel. And so I didn't. It didn't register to me that it could potentially be a different host than Warwick. I assumed it was going to be Warwick. Right. They, like you said, they brought him out for like a pre-show warm-up type thing.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden Stephen Colbert comes out. I loved, just before we get into the actual film information, I loved his story about being introduced to Star Wars 3 weeks earlier than everybody else. Right. If you haven't seen the video of that, go check out the live stream.
The whole live stream is up on their social media.
That was a moment where I kind of teared up, because as a guy that was in from that era, hearing him talk about that was awesome. So
hearing stories like who is it? The director? Why can't I think of his name?
James.
No. The director who did Chasing Amy, and he did Jane, Silent Bob. Why can't I think of his name?
Oh, Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith has a great story about like the first time he saw Star Wars. Stayed in this long, hour-long line to get a ticket, and then got immediately back in line. So I love those stories, because I wasn't alive for it.
Right.
So, you know, hearing the perspective from people like that, you know, people that were there, it's always fun.
And it was such a big surprise, because, like we said, we didn't know Stephen Colbert was going to be there, but we also didn't have confirmed that Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, Oscar Isaac, Kelly Maria Tran,
Junis Suotomo.
And then a new actress, Naomi...
Aki.
So we didn't know all that them were going to be there, especially BB-8 and R2 and then our new
D.O.
friend.
I love D.O.
It was just surprise after surprise after surprise, and even though you kind of thought, okay, these people might be there, they did build the anticipation. It also didn't help that there was a certain number of seats on the
Yeah, you started counting how many people were coming out.
That's what it was. You're doing the math. You're like, when Anthony Daniels comes out first, you're like, okay.
Yeah, there's eight more to go.
That's going on.
So, Anthony Daniels came out first, and then Billy Dee Williams came out.
Spectacular. Standing O. Yeah. Well, everyone got a standing O, but he got a special one.
He was rocking it. I loved, he was just
loving it.
The same pace he always is.
Yep.
Slow.
It made you wait for everything he's saying. It was, and his best line was, you know, how was it getting back into Lando?
Oh yeah,
Lando never left me.
Yeah. Everyone was like, oh
yeah. That almost got a standing ovation.
It was spectacular.
I loved when he was talking about the last basically 40 years of his life having to defend his character. From The Empire Strikes Back, talking about, and it becomes very personal for him.
Yes.
It's like he's defending his own himself with that. He's like, nobody died, is what he says.
That is a good. There is a zero death on Lando's watch, which is very nice. And then who came out? Was it the rest of the cast? The new guard?
Yeah. Daisy, John, and they all came out at the same time.
Surprisingly absent. Adam Driver.
Yeah.
But he's got that Broadway play that's going on right now.
I know, but still.
Well, did you hear the Stephen Colbert joke at the beginning that was kind of a poke at that?
No.
So he talks about, I do a show every night in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
About his thing.
What it was.
And so I think it was a little poke against Adam Driver not coming out for that.
I actually kind of, the fact that he wasn't there made it a little bit more mysterious, because how much of him did we see in the trailer anyway? We saw two pretty iconic shots. We saw him without the helmet.
Right.
And taking on using his lightsaber to go after.
He punched the guy.
Yeah, he used a lightsaber.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he hit him with the cross guard.
You
punched the cross guard.
And lifted him up and slammed him on the ground.
Yeah, it kind of had an L3 from Solo feel to it from that sequence from that. Yeah.
Yes, that's a great comparison.
Yeah. And then him putting back his...
People are saying it's not Kylo putting that helmet together. If you look at the image on the high def stuff that they've released from Star Wars, the hands, they look old.
It's covered in hair.
They look covered in hair, that kind of thing. There's the potential that people are speculating that it could be a certain, I don't know, the Senate at some point.
You're dropping the bomb already.
Yeah, so it could be him on there.
Should we address that immediately, though?
At the very end.
The last guest.
Yeah.
The last guest on the panel, basically.
Well, he wasn't even a guest on the panel. So they finish. If you've seen the trailer, you get to the end. You hear the Emperor's cackle.
After Luke says no one's ever really gone.
Which is a great... I didn't notice that the first time, too many cheers. And the second time, I was like...
Exactly, and then all of a sudden you hear the Emperor's cackle, and the trailer ends, and the next thing you know, the lights go up, and see this figure in...
the backdrop is fully red.
Yeah, that was the notice. Yes.
I thought it was over. I thought they were going to play the trailer again. I thought JJ was going to pull Dave Filoni and say, roll the trailer again, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I did not expect anybody else to come up except for JJ.
Right.
I heard the Emperor's laugh. I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool.
All of a sudden,
and then you see Ian McDiarmid come out on stage, and he doesn't get introduced. The whole place is going crazy,
nuts,
and he just says, "Roll it again."
I know. The energy in the room, at
and
that
it
point
goes crazy.
Was,
so
you could say the energy was electric.
Oh,
thank you. Right. I'm gonna sit out the rest of this.
I've heard you guys have a comedy angle to you, so yeah, that's cool.
What were you gonna say, Kevin?
I was gonna say, how lucky are we that Ian McDiarmid was cast as a very young man in the original trilogy?
Yes, yeah. We got
that
so
wasn't
lucky.
Really a plan. Well, I can't say that.
No, I don't think it was planned at all.
But it can't possibly have been like a plan that he's going to be in all of these films.
In like 40 years from now, he's going to be in movies.
Yeah. We're so lucky that we had just another roll of the dice for Star Wars. You know, we had Ben Burtt, another perfect roll of the dice, the greatest sound editor on the planet.
John Williams.
Oh. Another brilliant. We rolled another 20.
Whoops. John Williams made all of our music. That was perfect somehow.
Yeah, so the return of Ian McDiarmid can only mean good things.
Yeah, and the fun part about Ian, too, is he doesn't just enjoy playing this character. He, like,
Rebels
it is it. Who he is.
Right.
And you guys went, Sam and Nate, in 2017, you guys went to his panel.
Oh.
Just real quick, tell us kind of what that experience was.
Yeah, let's hear about it. He was just, like you said, he really enjoyed playing the character. That was all they talked about. They talked about, you know, his character and all that kind of stuff. But what he mainly talked about is how much he enjoyed, especially the prequels, doing that.
Really?
He
working with Hayden. And
he loved it. Hayden, of course, didn't come on, which was fine. Mm-hmm. But it was an amazing experience just to see how much he liked it. I didn't know that he liked it that
much.
Yeah,
it was one of your favorite panels that you went to in all of Celebration Orlando, wasn't it?
Yeah. 2 years ago. I just loved the way he interacted with fans and stuff. You know, he would... he went out on stage. Of course, the place erupted.
Yeah.
And, you know, he would go out in front of the stage, and this is going to be a great podcast. I was about to just, like, show you what it's in. But he would go out, and he'd, like, you know, make his hands look like he's shooting out force lightning at the crowd or whatever. And, you know, he was sitting in the chair, kind of, like, with his legs crossed. And he's like, oh, wait, no, this isn't how the Emperor sits. I mean, he kind of sits all proper in the throne or whatever. So he just loved playing the character. He just loved embodying... Why is the word?
Yeah,
that's right. You got it.
Embodying the character.
Yeah, embodying. Yeah. That's it.
It's sort of like Anthony Daniels.
Yeah.
You can tell he's like, you know, I feel like he would admit, like, you know, if I could wear that suit all the time, I would.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it
seems like he's like, I love being covered in gold.
Right.
But no, so there was a lot during the panel that was really cool that they talked about. Something, though, because we can't really go into detail over everything they said.
No, I wish we could.
Remember a lot of it.
It was too.
It'd be another panel. We'd just be doing the panel again.
Right. But what was something I picked up was they were really pushing the idea of this is the final installment of the Skywalker story.
They made that clear.
And it's going to bring everything together.
Yeah.
And the fact that the Emperor was in it.
That already ties in, all the movies.
Basically everything
We haven't even touched this. Death Star.
Death Star.
Okay.
First time and second time watching it, I didn't even notice that was the Death Star. I just thought that was some crashed ship.
Oh,
he had to point that out to me, that was the Death Star.
The leaked image of Jedi Fallen Order looks like the same planet.
Really? Yeah, that kind of bluish.
Oh, I haven't made that connection yet.
Ashy looking planet.
Interesting.
That is a fair point. I haven't even thought about that.
First time I saw that, I'm like, are they tying in Fallen Order with this?
Yeah, I didn't even notice that.
Well, that's a big thing, like you were saying earlier, the line is no one is ever truly gone.
Yeah.
And it's being said by Mark Hamill. So Luke is the one saying this. Who knows if this is just a random voiceover? I have a feeling it's going to be a part of the movie.
Yeah.
Well, it was from Last Jedi.
Well, no, that line, but the whole thing that he's saying throughout the trailer is obviously he's coaching Rey on what it means for who she is.
Yeah.
1,000 years worth of Jedi knowledge you now possess, all this kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So it is a tie back to The Last Jedi, but at the same time, it's there's more to it that he's alluding to with that.
And you would assume the big reveal is going to be Ghost Luke or something.
Which almost
like that.
Certainly is going to happen.
And then instead, no one's ever truly gone. You see a part of, I'm guessing, the second Death Star, because that's where the Emperor died.
Yeah.
And you hear the Emperor's cackle. And that's poof. And then the title this time's blue, so everybody, or the blue purplish color, so everybody get that in your mind, not red anymore.
Yeah.
And that pops up and then slowly open. And I was like, oh, thank God, we're finally getting the title for this.
Yeah. Did you guys wonder if it was just going to go away, say, in Star Wars?
Yeah. Yes. I thought for a second they were just going to, like, full circle, go back to where it was before and just call it Star Wars.
That would be interesting. But that would be very
I kind of like that idea, though. But
I'm wondering, because the Emperor's coming back, and they have a lot they need to pull together in this
short.
And even introducing back the Emperor, they're going to have to explain a lot of that, and they're going to have to finish that, and they have a lot of stuff they need to do.
A lot of things they got to tie up.
Yeah.
They've got 3 hours to do it.
Do
we think that it's going to be the longest Star Wars ever?
It has to be.
I think it will be.
What do you think? What's the current longest one?
230. It was
Last Jedi.
Last Jedi. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And before that, it was Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith was like 221.
Mm-hmm. I see. Just the sheer fact that they're ending the Skywalker story. We talked about this on our last week's show.
Yes.
The gravity of that statement. The gravity of the title.
Really, we should probably talk about the title at this point.
Yeah, let's talk about the title. Okay.
So they finally, like we were talking, you have the Star Wars, it finally moves, and then here comes the title, and it is, you love it so much, how about you say it?
The Rise of Skywalker.
So what is it about that you don't enjoy?
Well, I think part of it is a couple weeks ago there was a leaked rumor that it was going to be called Skywalkers, and immediately I disliked that idea. Sounded like Keeping Up with the Kardashians or something, you know? That's been a running joke about the Star Wars. It's always about the Skywalkers. It's like, it seems like Keeping Up with the Skywalkers. So when I saw that it said Rise of Skywalker, it immediately kind of put me off. And then I was starting to think, are they going back? Is like JJ just completely going back on what Ryan did and like, oh yeah, Rise of Skywalker, you know? It didn't sit right with me. And then, but everyone else is like standing ovation or erupting. I'm just kind of sitting in my chair like, thinking, like, okay, what does that mean? So
you're mostly worried the direction it could go because of the title.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I can understand that. I'm wondering who the Skywalker is. That's all that's coming to my mind. It was just like, it's got to be Kylo, because he's the only one with Skywalker blood, and he's not regarded as a Skywalker.
Yeah.
Does this confirm a redemption story?
Is the rise his rise to the light side? I kind of enjoy the theory that Rey is a reincarnation of Anakin or the Chosen One. I'm just a big Avatar The Last Airbender fan, so when I heard that, I was like, oh, I like spirits getting passed down from generation to generation of these, you know, the super powerful being. But that's what I liked about it was, it was open-ended enough leading up to the movie that makes you go, what the heck does that mean?
Right. I'm going to see if I can pull up Mark Hamill's tweet. Did you guys see his tweet after it was released?
Oh, I did not.
I'll pull that up. But keep talking about the title.
A lot of people were talking about how Mark Hamill was not at this panel.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he would be.
But you said publicist is here. Say it again? His publicist is here.
Yeah, I kind of thought he was here and just hiding in the background because his publicist was handing out autographs for him yesterday. On the show floor. So, anyway.
That's different.
All right, so he went on Twitter within just a few minutes after the panel was concluded. And this is what he put out there. He says, it's not episode 9 from his nap. That's been his joke. You know, The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi from his nap was the way it was going to go. Or even my suggestion, episode 9, a bunch more stuff happens. It's episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. It's time for the 8 months of speculation to begin. So then he begins and just adds fuel to it.
Yeah, of course.
Is that Skywalker Kylo, Leia, Anakin, Luke, or a previously unknown Skywalker? Is Rey a Skywalker? Cool title.
Thumb up. Love Mark.
That is just him adding fuel to
the fire. Oh, without a doubt.
If you ask me, especially just the snarky hashtag. Cool
so now
title.
I gotta go
cool
back title, yeah. and look at all of Anthony Daniels' tweets. And
see if they connect to this somehow.
Oh, yeah, those cryptic tweets. Well, we're up with those. That's a fair point.
We are such nerds. Like, you know, like, to think of
that. So I figured out his last one, though. It was just a plug for his meetup.
Oh, yeah, that was true.
Oh, yeah. It was just where he was going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so do we think it's, I mean, Ray is obviously going to be a big one. So, Ben is going to be a big big part of the conversation.
Sure, sure, sure.
Do you think this resurrects the Rey Skywalker theory, or like is what where we're going with this?
Sadly, that never died. That never died. We never got, like, you could walk into here, there's going to be plenty of people that say Rey is still a Skywalker, or Rey isn't,
or Shinobi, or some nonsense.
Yeah. Oh, did you guys see the theory about Qui-Gon Jinn and Shmi had an affair that one night in the Phantom Menace?
No.
And that's Qui-Gon Jinn's granddaughter. That was like this big, like, 2-hour theory.
Uh-huh. Wait, Rey is Qui-Gon. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, which she's a Skywalker because of Shmi.
She's a Skywalker Jinn.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That person had a little bit too much blue milk.
Right. Whoever came up with that theory.
Yeah.
But I mean, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say, the only way I really would like this title, the only way it would work, was if it was talking about Luke coming up, you know, through
like
the
a resurrection of Luke type thing.
Right, like full, like even more powerful than Yoda or Obi-Wan when he came back. Like, he's able to do some crazy stuff.
Thank you, that cosplayer walking by.
Or
did Rey have Han's holster in the trailer?
Did Rey have Han's holster?
It looked exactly like it.
No, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. But so, anyway.
It would either have to be Luke in a super powerful form or Anakin.
Or a Chiss child. More sensitive Chiss child.
No, we're gonna go there.
Skywalker.
You guys write
not a Skywalker.
Oh, yeah. That's, Skywalkers. That's a good point. Skywalkers are in Thrawn or are Chiss who map
and
out.
And why would they put that in there?
Because here's the thing. I feel like having an incorporation with the Thrawn book to, you know, one of the big title movies, a lot of people would be going, who's this blue people guy and stuff?
Yeah, that's
but
true.
But no, I honestly think it's either going to be a big movement where somehow they turn the name of, they're not Jedi anymore, they're called Skywalkers because it, you know, it's in their memory, or
the legend element,
right, or it's one person is a Skywalker, so especially like Ben Solo Skywalker. He is now a light side guy, and that, you know, so it's either a big kind of like they slap a banner over, you know, something they're doing, like, hey, we're Skywalker, or it's one person who has then saved the day. But theory, I don't know about Kylo turning good.
One theory I heard today from someone we spoke to that I didn't give a lot of credence to, but I want to get your guys' thoughts, and it was that the rise will be Kylo. Kylo is the Skywalker that rises, and he will be the centerpiece of the next three. They're claiming that there's going to be,
10, 11, 12.
10, 11, 12.
Yeah.
And it's going to be focused around him either being the main villain or being the main focus in some facet.
I don't know.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Sam.
I just kind of came up with a crazy theory that's not fully fleshed out, but
that's why it's fun.
Right, what if Kylo rises to the good side?
Okay.
Takes some stormtroopers with him.
Yeah.
And then, you remember the leaked poster that came out with those red troopers at the bottom, which is almost pretty much confirmed at this point because the costumes are the identical.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What if the red troopers and maybe even the Knights of Ren follow the Emperor? When he comes back, maybe the Emperor comes back and remakes a clone army. Maybe that's what the red troopers are. He starts his own clone army again. Maybe the Knights of Ren follow him because Kylo's turned to the good side for whatever reason. So they start following the Emperor, and there's this battle between the Emperor, the Knights of Ren, and these clone troopers against First Order stormtroopers, Kylo, and the Resistance.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
It's kind of playing off your idea,
with
Dad.
Like a Finn revolution, you know,
right?
Schism, in the First Order.
Now that
going
up against the Emperor.
Yeah, I didn't even consider that.
Yeah, I think that we've got it. I think that the idea of the red clone trooper or the red stormtroopers in that poster being clones is something that I really love, and them going off with the Knights of Ren
and the Emperor,
and then this division within the First Order. Maybe Kylo. My theory was the exact opposite, though. Mm-hmm. Kylo is so absolute evil.
Yes.
That Hux and the First Order is like, this dude's too bad for even us.
Yeah.
And then Finn leads a stormtrooper revolution, against that, and it's basically the resistance of the First Order coming together against Kylo, but now maybe the Emperor Kylo and these clones, because you recall back to The Force Awakens, perhaps the Supreme Leader should use a clone army, Kylo says to Hux. So anyway, that's I love the idea of the Emperor being in there. I think that I would love to see, though, that the Rise of Skywalker being somehow Anakin being
that's
brought back into the story.
Because if the Emperor survived, why couldn't Vader?
Exactly.
Well, right. And we see that he has a Force ghost. Like,
my call is that the Emperor is going to be a Force ghost. Because I call back almost to Frieden Nod and like the old comic books and everything, where there's these ancient Sith lords that were basically these ghosts in a way. That would be a great tie-in to the old Legends content, that you have him at the crash site of the thing, almost leading a cult in a way, or whatever it might be, just around this person. It's his ghost. He can't go anywhere else. He's just there.
Like Darth Bane in Clone Wars.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly like Darth Bane in Clone Wars.
And we, although in the film side of things, we've never seen a Darksider as a Force ghost.
Will he glow red? We'll find out.
Right. Well, that's right. We have seen them bringing this concept in through the Vader, Darth Vader, Lord of the Sith, Dark Lord of the Sith comics.
Yes.
Because they brought in that Lord moment. That projected himself in. So it's a possibility that we could see a Force ghost.
Do we see a Darth Vader Force ghost?
Oh, I hope so.
As well as an Anakin. You mean like a Vader
in The Force Awakens, there was concept art of Hayden Christensen as a Force ghost, and then he was slowly phasing in and out of being Darth Vader.
That's a really good idea.
But we're getting to the point now where we're kind of talking about like half of the cast of this movie is going to be a Force ghost.
Yeah.
You know? So there has to be some. If there's a lot, it has to be in a small dose, like one scene or whatever. I really want to see Luke.
Right, it'd be like Haunted Mansion at Disney World.
Right.
You know, that's the new Star Wars Galaxy's Edge thing we'll get tomorrow, right?
Death Star.
Right, exactly.
It's all these ghosts dancing.
We're all expecting something different.
I've got an idea, though. They may not even need to bring the Emperor in as, like, a ghost. Because in Rebels, with the World Between Worlds, physically manifests. Like he drew Ahsoka into the World Between Worlds.
She
was able to go wherever she wanted as a physical being.
Yeah.
And the Emperor was able to do some stuff in there, we saw, because with, the magic or whatever. So why couldn't he? Maybe Kylo finds a way to access the World Between Worlds and brings the Emperor, like resurrects the Emperor or something.
He's not even a Force ghost,
you know.
My concern with that, with you know a lot of those incorporated things, is if they try and add too much, you know what I mean, of something outside of the normal trilogy that a lot of other people will know. Like in The Last Jedi, they did the Force connection, they did the Force projection. Those were two big things they added. Right. So if they do Episode 9, I would really hope if they add something new, it's like one new thing or two new things that you're able to go back and be like, oh, they did that in this and this. And because that's how a lot of theories evolve into is, oh, they could do this and then this and then this. And I don't want that much going on. I honestly loved a lot of the stuff we were seeing pictures-wise of them on this forest planet. Kind of, it looked like they would have some good camaraderie, some good dialogue.
Good way to start the film, for
right,
sure.
That's what I mean. I want to see a lot of that type of stuff, with them doing their thing, and then make it maybe more complex as time goes on.
Oh, yeah.
And if Kylo goes to the World Between Worlds and brings back the Emperor, does he also bring back Vader? Does he bring back his grandfather?
Yeah, I don't see them bringing the World Between Worlds into it, because it would create, first of all, it's dangerous. A lot of fans have already said they don't want that idea to happen. Yeah. Time travel in Star Wars would be bad. On top of that, it would create challenges with people that, JJ talked about it on the panel. The challenge of this movie is it's the culmination of a nine movie arc that has to be satisfying as it relates to all previous eight movies. and a self-contained movie.
Exactly.
With it. And so adding in a bunch of stuff from Rebels or Clone Wars and all this other stuff, if it's a tiny little Easter egg type thing where the super fans like us see it and freak out, that's one thing. But if it's a major plot point like The World Between Worlds you're suggesting would be, it will confuse 75% of the movie-going audience because they don't know anything about it.
That's fair. Something I'd really like to see that we've been talking, because we were talking about the possibility of a Force Ghost Emperor, a physical emperor. I don't care how he manifests. What I really want to see is some poetry, some reflection of the relationship between Anakin and Palpatine at the end and in the Revenge of the Sith, and how he was always in his ear. And that's how it turned. I kind of want to see the Emperor just desperately trying to get in the ear of Kylo Ren. I just want to see him see Kylo and be like, this is my ticket. Yeah. I'm going to impress upon this my ideas. This is how I live forever. And whether Kylo accepts it or resists it, I don't know. I don't really know how I feel about that yet. But that feels like if they're going to bring the Emperor back at all, there has to be some awesome symbolism that we can compare.
Kylo,
I think we might get that.
Kylo offers up one of his Knights of Ren to be a conduit for the Emperor. You know, I need a body. Maybe, cool, we got you this guy. What?
The guy that holds the axe.
What?
Think about this trailer and title and everything that we got from this panel. Not much was given for us to speculate.
Oh, no, it's a teaser for without a doubt.
Nothing. Yeah, the whole panel gave us, not much to grab on, but it gave us a tiny thing to grab on that we were desperate for.
But, Star Wars, they've said for 40 years, Star Wars is poetry, and everything is supposed to be, repeating itself and mirroring itself and rhyme. If the Skywalker being referred to in this is Ben Solo, then you've got, the prequel trilogy, you have Palpatine trying to turn Anakin Skywalker, or be his master. In the original trilogy, you have him constantly referring to Luke as Skywalker, and in the end trying to turn him into his apprentice.
Yes.
Now you're in the sequel trilogy, and you may be having the same scenario playing itself out a third time with the... is it the Emperor putting Kylo's mask back together? Is it the Emperor coming out of the shadows? He's really been behind the scenes. This is what the contingency was all about from the other stuff, that the extra movie stuff.
Yeah.
And he's actually been planning to come back some point, and this is the moment where he appears back on the scene. So
the whole Battlefront 2 campaign thing.
And aftermath.
On our show, we might have to do another interview with the Emperor and see what he actually, what his plans are.
I need to give him a call.
We already asked him about old Benny Snoke, and he said, "Oh, he used to shine his shoes, so he's not even a threat."
Yeah, he's not even a threat.
So we don't know.
Snoke isn't a threat to the old chief Palpatine. But yeah, we might call him up and see if he can
come on the show again.
Take some time for our show. But no. So how about some closing thoughts when it comes to just this in general? For me, I wasn't expecting a lot of this stuff. I wasn't expecting the people we saw as much as I thought I would see them, or what they would say or what they would do, or any of that. I wasn't even expecting to be at the panel. But a big thing that I once again took away was that they kept talking about it being the culmination. They're going to, it's supposed to be the end, and we're trying to tie everything else in. And, throwing a major curveball that I don't think anyone in their right mind could have called, which is the return of the Emperor.
Yeah.
If I was going to give my least likely prediction for the trailer, it would have been that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't on the list.
Like, wasn't on it at all.
After episode 6, nobody expected to see the Emperor again.
I would have sooner...
I thought he was dead.
I would have sooner said that Jar Jar would be a part of this
right.
than I would the Emperor.
As we all know, Jar Jar's a Sith anyway, so
yes,
he's pulling the strings behind. So, what about you? Last thoughts on it?
Man, like I said, when we were walking out, if you had given me an odds, line up these odds and tell me what they're, Emperor coming back, 0.
Well, first you would have said, don't tell me the odds, but yeah, exactly. I know you.
So that was the biggest surprise. I want to see Daisy do some really cool stuff.
That flip over the Tyson?
We knew that something was going to be sweet. We were this is some great
When you use that first shot, you're like, oh, this is going to be good.
So I cannot wait. I mean, we...
how long have we had? How long has it been since we've seen a really elaborate and long one-on-one lightsaber battle?
Yeah,
it's we've had since episode three. We've had the rough and tumble Rey and Finn versus Kylo in the woods, and they're all amateurs. They're all novices. Yeah. They're all seeing how fighting works and stuff. Now we're years in. There's extremely powerful people between Kylo and Rey.
Yep.
And we're going to see them fight, and absolutely, it's gonna be epic. It's gonna be. We're gonna cry.
Probably.
I can't wait for that. That's specific.
I would say that we haven't even talked about one of the things that was probably the most emotional moments, which was seeing Carrie Fisher as Leia
and hugging Rey. That's when I cried.
Yeah.
First time out of the four.
And it's sad to see that we don't know yet, but it was sad to know from JJ's comments and to see from the footage that they're limited, so it may be just a first act appearance.
Yeah.
And as sad as it would be, I do want to see Carrie on screen again. I love Carrie. I read her memoir, her one memoir, and it was beautiful. It was a beautiful behind the scenes look at the original trilogy, just from her perspective.
It's going to be awesome to see, for sure. Awesome. Well, I think that pretty much gives anything. Any parting shots?
Not really. If you guys want to listen to us more, and of course find us on any social media, it's Chatter Squadron everywhere. And then if you listen to any specific podcast hosting app, we're on every single one. Just Chatter Squadron, the Star Wars podcast. And right now we're doing 2 episodes a week.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Awesome. We're so thrilled that we got to do this with you guys today.
We're geek out about this. We were available. We were afraid that we wouldn't be able to do this, and we were like, we missed it.
We made it happen, so this is awesome. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. I guess that pretty much does it for this week. Is there anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Knock some projects off your to-do list without having to do them yourself. Every day, over 8,000 homeowners turn to the Home Depot's home services to help install sheds, bath remodels, window treatments, heating and cooling systems, nearly any home improvement project. Visit homedepot.com/services and go from to-do to done with licensed local pros backed by the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. For license information, see homedepot.com/license numbers.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment.
Does that include dinner at that new French place?
Yep, 4% cash back there.
How about bowling with my friends?
Yeah, 4% cash back on that too.
Nice.
And that'll be a rewarding weekend. Because with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% on dining and entertainment. So when you go out, you cash in. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.